It was a wonderful trip that we made through the Caribbean. We left out of Mexico and headed to Cayman, and then from Cayman on to Jamaica. And during the trip from Cayman to Jamaica over the evening, it had been a very long day in Cayman, and I should have been tired, but the meal they had fed us had a lot of chocolate in it, especially in the dessert. Double Dutch chocolate cheesecake. Oh, wow, that was wonderful. And after that, coffee, and went into the card room and sat and played gin and drank coffee some more. And so around 1 o'clock in the morning, I wasn't at all tired and I couldn't sleep. And by three, I said, this is ridiculous. So I got up and got out and walked along the deck outside on the promenade deck and went up into the front observation deck on the very front of the ship, you know, in the movie Titanic. When Leonardo DiCaprio got out there and, you know, said, I'm the king of the world. And I wanted to do that, but they have that roped off, so you can't get to that on these cruise ships because they've had people trying to do it, apparently. At any rate, I went out there, and there were two of the table stewards, cabin and table stewards were out there talking, and I recognized one of them. They have formal meals on these trips, and they have more silverware than you've ever seen in your life. I mean, I was wondering, what do I do? I mean, which one of these knives and spoons and forks do I eat with? And Mother said, you go from the outside in. Yeah, but what do you do about these silverware on the top here above the plate? And she says, well, part of it's for your appetizer and part of it's for your dessert. And they had two table stewards who would come around and serve you meticulously, just like in a really expensive restaurant. I mean, it's real fancy. Well, one of my table stewards, a young man from Bali, of all places, in Indonesia, named Madhya, he was out there drinking orange juice with a friend of his out on the forward observation deck at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I walked over and took that opportunity to talk, and we talked for quite a while, and I finally got up the guts after a long conversation, and they were telling me a whole lot of things about how things operated on the ship. And so I finally got up the guts to say, could you tell me how much you make doing this? Because I had heard that employees on cruise ships don't get paid very well. And Madhya looked at me and he said, well, I make $405 a month. Of that, I send $200 back to my family in Bali. Because $200 in Bali is almost a year's wages. So he lived on $200 a month on board ship. Now I was just stunned. The idea of making $400 and then sending $200 of it back home. And back home, that was almost a year's wages every month. That was incredible to me. The next day we landed at the Jamaican Islands and we went ashore and were on a shore excursion to a tropical garden that they were taking us to view and to tour, go through and see some of the wonderful plants that have been planted there over 100 years ago. It was an incredible place to go and visit. And on the way there, the tour guide in our van was giving us a rundown of the culture and the people of Jamaica. And she says, you see over here, you see all these really rich homes over there. There is a rather interesting growing population of wealthy foreigners who've come to Jamaica to live because we have no income tax. All we have is a sales tax. And so people come from all over the world with multi-million dollars to build these huge homes and to live here tax-free. But if you set them aside and look at the population of Jamaica as a whole, the average Jamaican earns $379 a year. And when you factor out the people who make more money than that and look at the average Jamaican across the board, it comes out to $212 a year. My friends, that's not a month. That's not a week. That's not a day. That's a year. Now, we in America talk about the poor people. We talk about people in our midst who are homeless, and there are poor people and homeless people right outside those doors. But we in this nation are truly blessed indeed. Because you know what the average income for a person in the United States is? The average income in the United States of America is $32,000 a year. That's impressive. And disparity, therefore, is incredible. The idea of living on $200 or $300 a year is beyond our ability to comprehend as a people today. Somebody in our group asked, well, why don't people do more for the poor people in Jamaica? And the tour guide almost laughed in her face and said, in Jamaica, just about all the natives are poor. There is nobody to do anything for anybody. The idea of wealth there, a wealthy person in their culture and a wealthy person in ours, completely different things. And the same was true in Jesus' day. Israel was a poor backwater in the Roman Empire, a poor backwater that had been under social and political oppression for several centuries, first by the Greeks, led initially by Alexander the Great. And the Greek culture came in and was literally transforming the entire Israelite culture, so that Hebrew and Aramaic, the spoken languages of the Hebrew people, were becoming second languages that you learned in school and you didn't even speak at home. For many Jews, that was true. In fact, there were more Jews outside of Israel who spoke Greek than there were Jews in Israel who spoke Hebrew. And the Roman Empire, during the days of Joseph's lifetime and youth, the Roman Empire came in and took over Israel. And so Israel was under cultural and political oppression from the outside, from the Roman Empire and the Greek culture. And what was rich to an Israelite was almost laughed at, was fairly poor or moderate for a Roman and a Greek. The idea of rich and poor, in other words, is very different even for Jesus' day and people. And yet Jesus said, notice the rich people coming. And out of their abundance, they're giving. And you know, your first thought is, that's great. I wish we had rich people here who would give abundantly. That's what I thought when I read this. And then he says, however, this woman, this widow, gave more than all of those rich people. Yep. He says, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. You notice he says that, he doesn't say that's bad, that's good. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had. And therefore, he says, she's done more than all the rich people. Why? Because the rich people were giving of their abundance. The widow gave everything she had. I found it curious to look up Ross Perot's IRS report or tax return from his last bid for the presidency. I thought it was a fascinating experience. Ross Perot, one of the 10 richest men in Texas. You know how much he reported as his gifts to charity? Not just to church, but to charity. The year that he filed that tax return back, I think it was 4 years ago. You know how much he reported as a percentage of his income? 0.5%. Not a percent, not 5%, not a tithe. 0.5%. A tithe of $1 billion is $100 million. That's a lot of money to give away. For a rich person, they can give abundantly, and Ross Perot gave millions of dollars away that year. They can give abundantly. and it not match in terms of what it means spiritually for this widow to give away a penny, which was all she had? What does this say to us today? What is the experience of being literally a wealthy people in this world say to us today? What are we called to do in the light of this scripture and these words of Jesus? One possible sermon topic would be, give abundantly from your abundance, just as these people were. And if you have very little, give that too. I could preach a sermon today on tithing. I'm sure Claude Draper would be pleased, and Roma would be very pleased if I were to do that. And I think I kind of have. But today, we're hearing something different from Jesus. Jesus doesn't want just 10%. Jesus doesn't want just 20%. Jesus doesn't want just 50% of you. Jesus wants all of you. He wants all of us. Not just 10% of us. Not just 10% of Les, or 10% of Gary, or 10% of Impara, or 10% of you, Vanda. He wants all of you. 100%. Just as the widow gave everything that she is and was and had, so also God wants every little bit of you. The glorious truth of the gospel is that He then gives back abundantly to us, to overflowing of His blessings and grace. At the table of the Lord today, we receive a reminder of the real presence of Jesus. We receive indeed the grace of God in this means of grace. In the meal we will have in a few minutes, we will eat abundant food to overflowing, I'm afraid. But the truth is, as much as God gives, God wants everything that you are. Your mind, your soul, your spirit, your attention, your prayer, your life, your body. Not just 10% of what's in your wallet, but 100% of what's in your soul. He wants all of you. Just as the widow gave everything that she had, so also God wants all of you. That's what Jesus is saying to us today. And that's why we should give thanks. Because God already owns us completely. And He gives back so much to us in His love and in His grace. In the family of faith that we call this church, in this community, in this nation. My friends, this nation is going through a political strife like we haven't seen in decades and decades and decades. But my friends, I am convinced that despite all of the insecurity and the doubt about what's going to happen, the truth is God's in control. And God wants you. And He will give you yourself and everything that you need. This week in our revival, and next week at Thanksgiving, and today as we stuff ourselves, let us give thanks to God for the gift of grace and peace, for the gift of the family of faith, for the gift of the joy of being God's wonderful possession. For the gift of the grace that we receive in giving. Let us truly give thanks to God and give ourselves to Him. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Prayer needs in the congregation this morning. Yes?
Yesterday, we celebrated Aaron's 4th birthday, and then Christina's grandmother had a mild stroke yesterday.
Okay, so you need to open up. I have a prayer in the kids.
I'm having a good one.
Did it happen?